This morning, I want to speak on the subject. It's more than just the right hand that's withered. Here we have the story of Jesus coming to church, and there was a man whose right hand, whose right arm had been withered from life. And Jesus asked him to do something. He said, in verse number 8, he said, "Rise up and stand forth in thy midst." And then verse number 10, he said, "Stretch forth thy hand." Now think about it. I mean, do you think he really believed Jesus? I mean, think about it. All his life, his hand, his right arm had been withered. He had to drive the chariot with his left hand. He had to brush his teeth with his left hand. Had to put his clothes on with his left hand. Here Jesus makes a statement. Stretch forth. Stretch forth. There are some things that, you know, that just cannot be done. I like to be around people that are optimistic people. I like to be around people that says, "Hey, we know we can do it. We can do this." But this guy, I believe he probably thought, how in the world am I going to obey Jesus? I mean, I've never been able to move this arm. One of my favorite persons to read about is Walt Disney. I've got a couple books by Walt Disney. And this guy, if you read the story, his autobiography, everything that could possibly happen had happened to him. I remember one time he moved his mom and dad from Washington State to California. And they just come out with these new gas heaters. It's a wonderful thing to do something for your parents. He loved his parents. All the Disney children never stayed home. They left early because their parents were very strict. And yet he wanted to do something nice for his mom and dad. And then tragedy struck. The gas heater went out, but the gas kept flowing all night. And his mom, as a result of that leaky gas, his mom died. But I'm tired of hearing all the reasons why it can't be done. Every single thing that Walt Disney did, it motivated him. He had another mouse before Mickey come along, but it was stolen in a crooked business deal. And as the story goes, he went to New York, and that's when he found out, hey, you can't have this little rabbit. Actually, it was a rabbit named Mortifer. This belongs to us. It doesn't belong to you. And the story reads that he wrote his brother, he emailed, telegrammed his brother in L.A. and said, "Listen, all is well. Pick me up at the station in 3 days. And some believe that by the time he left New York and arrived in L.A., that sometime in between there is when he created that little mouse. He basically said, he says, "I don't care. I don't care what the odds are. I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to quit." But there are some people that believe they are called of God to preach and it can't be done anymore. But you can still live a godly life today. You can still live a pure life. You can still make your parents proud and the Lord proud of you. But there's some things that just can't be done. I mean, this guy in church with this withered right hand, there's no way he could raise it. He didn't have the belief. And the very idea to ask this man, whose hand is limp, to withered at his side, to ask him to stretch forth and be healed. Do something impossible to do. My, how you'd love to do so. But long, long time ago, he already knew, his mind had already been conditioned to know that, hey, this hand has been lame all my life. And I don't care what has happened, I cannot use it. But Jesus said, stretch forth. No matter how much he struggled or willed it to be, the sickness would be no response. He couldn't move a finger. He couldn't feel a response. But the Bible says Jesus walked up to that man and he said to him, stand forth. And then he said, stretch forth thy hand. Have you ever felt like the Lord gave you a command that you couldn't do? Think about this guy. Here he is. He's in church, and the Lord Jesus is telling him, there's something I want you to do. And he felt like, there's no way, I can't do it. Have you ever felt that cross pull in your heart? One side you feel the Lord is leading you to do something, and on the other side you give him all the excuses why you can't do it. I don't have the faith. I'm not bright enough. I'm not big enough. I'm not educated enough. There's no way I could do what God wants me to do. And yet, at the same time, you know you can do it. All he had to do was obey the command that Jesus gave him. Jesus said, stretch forth thy hand. You know you tried, but you couldn't bring a response. And there's a tremendous agony in your heart when you know that there's something that God wants you to do, but you don't believe that you can do it. Let's just face, there are some things that are impossible to do. I mean, let's just go ahead and get that attitude in our life. Hey, can't do it. But wait a minute. Here Jesus was in church, and the scribes and Pharisees were there, not to receive a blessing, but to criticize him. They're saying, hey, I wonder if he's going to heal on the Sabbath. They were watching him. And Jesus said to this man, rise up and stand forth and stretch forth thy hand. Just try it and do it openly. And the Bible says that he did it and he was healed. But there's some things that just can't be done. Did you know George Westinghouse? He said, I can stop a train by air. And Mr. Vanderbilt showed him the door, said, man, what do you think? You think I'm an idiot? Don't come into my office and tell me that you can stop a train by air. And he showed him the door, and today you can't have a train. You can't own a train. You can't regulate a train. The federal government requires all trains to have air brakes. There's just some things that's impossible. You can't do it. The Wright brothers were told that they were touched in the head. I know a little bit about that. Dr. Jonas Salk said, I can vaccinate for smallpox. And some people in public opinion dispelled him from their midst and said, it's impossible. You can't do it. Galileo said, the world moves or it rotates. And on his knees, he was forced to retract that statement. Columbus said, I can sail west and reach the east. It's impossible, they said. Have you ever noticed that yesterday's impossibilities are today's realities? And all we have to do is just obey. He said, stretch forth and just obey. All we have to do is try. Just make an attempt. Try. We've got to try. And this morning, there's some other things that I want you to notice. It's not always the right arm that's withered. There are other things that get withered in our life. And I'm going to mention four things this morning. Sometimes, number one, sometimes it's our ability to sympathize that gets withered. In my life, God has always used people through circumstances. I have a very, very soft heart. If it was left up to me, every time I stop at a red light, I'd give money to the people begging for it, but I don't. I don't want to upset my wife. But I have a very soft heart. I remember I gave a guy some peanut butter sandwiches one time. He said, I don't want peanut butter sandwiches. He said, I want some money. I said, well, I'm not a bank. He said, I'm going to throw it in the canal. And I said, if you throw it in the canal, I'll never give you any more money. I'll never get any more peanut butter sandwiches. I'm just saying, it's our ability to sympathize, to put our circumstances in theirs. But God has always used people to soften my heart. I remember one time a lady, her first name was June. And I remember I knocked on her door. And she was a very young lady, around 30 years old, had four children. And I had the opportunity to win this young lady to Christ. And I remember she was so sick with cancer. So sick. She couldn't even get up off the couch. Her kids had to bring her food. She had a husband, but he wouldn't wait on her. He wouldn't feed her. He wouldn't bathe her. He wouldn't even bring her any food to eat. He had a habit. Alcohol had consumed his life. But I remember as I went by every Saturday to visit June, we became very close, and God used her condition to soften my heart. I'm saying sometimes it's our ability to sympathize that gets withered in our life. And I remember one day the call came that June had passed away. And I ran to the hospital, JFK Hospital. And I asked the undertaker, I said, would you wait a few minutes before you take her body? He unzipped the body bag and I took her by her hand. And I said, June, thank you for working in my life. You see, I don't want to ever forget. I always want to be able to sympathize. I'm thinking of another man that God used. His name was Jim. I called him Jungle Jim because he went out. He trapped raccoons and turtles and all kinds of wildlife. He never wore shoes. I remember I went to visit him in his house one day. I sat down on a couch. He said, don't sit on the couch. I jumped. I go, why? He said, because my black widow escaped from the cage. Jim had his right arm severed. In his early life, before he got saved, he had a battle with alcohol. And he was out one night on the river and he fell out of the boat. And the boat made about three circles. And the third time it ran over him and cut his arm off. And as I preached his funeral, I said, Lord, thank you for using this man in my life. Thank you, Lord, I've got a right arm. I could use it. I'm thinking this morning of a homeless lady that I met at the Kentucky Fried Chicken on 47th Street in West Palm. Now, that's not really a good area to be in, but if you're a Kentucky Fried Chicken fan, it's a great area. I remember I pulled up one day, and there's four squad cars all out with their rifles pointing at the cashier. But one day I walked in and there was an elderly lady, homeless lady, bag lady, what they call her. And as I walked up, right before order, she said, sir, would you mind buying me a biscuit and a cup of coffee? And I said, no, ma'am, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to buy you a three-piece chicken dinner. And you're going to have lunch with me today. And the manager said, oh, no, we're going to run her out of here. I said, no, you're not. This is a guest, a dinner guest. And so we sit down, and we had chicken dinner together. God always uses people and circumstances in my life to help me to keep that sympathy, that love, and that care. I'm thinking about a man by the name of Mr. Bowles that I picked up in Fort Lauderdale and took him to a doctor one day. I couldn't believe when I pulled up at the house, I couldn't believe how poor this guy was. And I took him downtown Fort Lauderdale to the doctor, and earlier that morning, someone had given me a $5 tip. And I said, Mr. Bowles, on the way home, I said, hey, we're coming up Andrews Avenue. I said, hey, have you ever eaten here at this place called Catfish Dewey's? He goes, no, I couldn't afford that. And all of a sudden, my heart was stricken again. And here is a man that couldn't even afford to go into a restaurant to buy a meal. And I said, Mr. Bowles, I was given $5 this morning, but I know I'm supposed to give it to you. We stopped at the Burger King, and both of us had lunch together. But you see, I gained a new sympathy, a new understanding of people that's going through problems and trials and tribulations and hurt and pain. And we need to feel for each other and love for each other and take time for one another. Have you been hurt? Have you been burned? I've heard people say, boy, I'm not getting close to anybody anymore. You can't minister to anyone until you've been hurt. Until God places you in certain circumstances to teach and make you and mold you in your life, you'll never be able to minister to people. But you got to try. Jesus said, reach forth. He said, stretch forth thy hand. Just make the attempt. We've got to try. And don't lose the sympathy that we have for people. Sometimes it's our ability to be a friend that gets withered. I don't understand the complications of relationships among people, but it seems like those that we're closest to sometimes, there's problems that get in there and destroys, and it withers a friendship. The Bible says that a friend sticketh closer than a brother. Closer than a brother. When a friend slips and their life is damaged, we are to be their friend. Saved and unsaved persons accidentally get hurt. The paramedics have responsibility to save both their lives. Hey, you got to try. You got to reach forth. You got to stretch forth. And don't let that friendship wither. About 3 months ago, about 10 o'clock at night, my wife came into the bedroom. She shook me and said, Danny, look at this email. And when I read the email, I mean, I was mad. A dear friend of mine of 11 years, good friend, his wife, wrote the email for him and said, don't ever contact him again. Don't ever email him. I've taken his phone number out of his phone. Don't contact him. And I said, man, you wait. You wait till I get to that computer and respond to this. And then I said, no, I'm not going to respond. I'm going to wait a little while. And I waited 2 days, and I called this person. He says, I can't talk now. I said, shut up and listen. I don't care how you feel on your side. My side of the friendship is fine. Hung the phone up. There's nothing wrong with on my side. I'm not going to respond. I'm not going to let that friendship wither. I mean, 11 years. Last Monday, I received a phone call. It's been 3 months. He said, you know, my wife said, you know, I don't think I should have been that hard on Danny. She said, have you been talking to him? He goes, yes. As a matter of fact, my name in his phone is Les Jackson. And so he knows when Les Jackson's calling, he knows it's me. His wife doesn't. And this past Thursday, we had lunch together in Fort Lauderdale. I had to try. I've got to try. I've got to make an attempt. Jesus said, stretch forth thy hand. But I can't. Yes, you can. See, that's the great thing about life. On this side, everything can be fine. It may not be on the other side. But eventually, you can change and turn the tide. Sometimes it's more than just a withered hand. Sometimes it's our burden for lost souls that gets withered. That's sad, isn't it? But sometimes the care that we have for lost people, it gets withered. It's so sad to go into churches that have a burden for the lost and see that burden fade. They've changed directions. This week when I was in Broward County, I drove past two churches, and it's sad. They were vibrant churches at one time. Bus routes, building the Sunday school, and all of a sudden they took the name Baptist off the sign. Now they're a community church. When you see that happen, it tells something about the leadership in that church. But I'm saying sometimes it's our burden for lost souls to go into a church that was built on soul winning and knocking on doors and winning people and telling people how to get saved and preaching on hellfire and brimstone and having revivals that stirred their communities. Gone. And now they begin to gradually change directions. They don't have pastors anymore. They have what I call keepers of the aquarium. Because pastors are fishers or men. Yes, it's not just a withered right hand or an arm. I remember witnessing to a 14-year-old girl. And every time that I witness to someone, I always give them the assurance of their salvation. I'll ask them a couple times, if you were to die today, where would you go? If you were to die tomorrow, if you die 5 years, if you die in 20 years, where would you go because of the decision that you just made? And I remember this 14-year-old girl, she was from Taiwan. And I said, if you were to die tonight, where would you go? She said, I would go to Taiwan. I said, no, I'm not talking about your physical body. I remember one time I was working in a factory on lunch break as a 65-year-old deacon of a Baptist church. And I asked him, I said, tell me about your salvation experience. He goes, well, and he couldn't. I said, let me ask you a question. If you were to die tonight, do you know for sure that you go to heaven? He goes, no. And I mean, some of the most unusual places God has allowed me to talk to people about the Lord. I don't want my burden for lost people to be withered. I remember one time I was asked to drive 75 miles on the north side of Chicago to preach at a nursing home. I mean, it was quite a drive. And I remember there was a lady by the name of Mrs. Williams, as I preached that day, that got saved. I wrote her name in my Bible. It's not in this Bible, it's in another Bible. I always wanted to remember because I thought, man, why'd I got to drive 75 miles to preach in a nursing home? And the reason that I had to was because Mrs. Williams was going to get saved that morning. I don't ever want my burden for lost people to become withered and dried up and set aside. And last night, 11-year-old boy in Clewiston, I had the opportunity to lead him to Christ. You know, one of the greatest educations that I've ever received was when a dear assistant pastor in the church taught me how to win souls for Christ. You see, it's the most important thing is knowing how to win someone to Christ. Because if you don't know how, you're not going to do it, and your burden is going to wither away. But Jesus said, don't give up, just try. It's not just always that right arm. Jesus said, straightforward, we've got to try. Give it our very best effort. Then lastly, number four, sometimes it's our very desire for God that withers. Do you have a desire for God? I don't know about you, I want a passion for God. I want a passion when you realize that God created us for one thing, that was for fellowship. And then Adam listened to his wife and then they sinned. We blame it on Eve, but it really wasn't Eve's fault. It was Adam's fault. Because if Adam had been the right kind of a leader in his home, his wife wouldn't have done that. But I'm saying one of the best things that you could do is to remember. Do you remember when you were saved? Man, I remember the day. I remember the circumstances. Do you remember? When your soul starts to wither, remember. That's the best thing. Remember. Remember what God has done for you. I remember some battles, some spiritual battles that I've had. Now, you're not going to believe me if I tell you, but I'm going to tell you anyway. But at age 17, I gave up smoking for 5 years. See, where I lived in the Carolinas, they grew it, you dipped it, you chewed it, and you smoked it. And that's not an excuse. My grandmother and my great aunt, we'd go over to their home, they had a spittoon, sort of like a vase sitting by the fireplace. And from their chair or from their couch, that wad would fly across the living room and pew. I remember one time hearing the preacher preach against smoking. It wasn't in that church where I was. Because the pastor smoked. The deacon smoked. And in between church and Sunday school, they get ready to warm up the choir. They're all out back smoking. But listen, they're on fire for God. But I remember the preacher saying, he was preaching against smoking, and one of the ladies in the church who dipped. Sure, that's right, preacher. Anything tastes that good, it would be a sin to burn. But I remember the day. 17 years old, driving up I-95 at PGA, I took the last two packs of cigarettes and threw them out the window. You know why? Because I wanted to be a bus driver at our church and you couldn't smoke. I had to try. Jesus said, stretch forth thy hand. I don't want my hand to be withered when it comes from my desire for God. You remember when you were delivered and you experienced that victorious Christian living? Isn't it great to be saved? You know, preacher, every service you say, aren't you glad you're saved? Think about that. Most people aren't saved. Maybe right now, you feel a need. God wants you to do something. But you say, Brother Danny, I'm too old. I can't do it. I remember we had one of our elderly ladies. I don't see her here this morning. She always wanted to sing in the choir, but she said, I said, go ahead and join. She said, no, there's too many young people singing in the choir. We have all kinds of excuses. But when God tugs at your heart, don't let that desire become withered. God wants you to do something. Jesus said, stand forth. But it's scary. Doesn't matter. Stand forth. Jesus said, stretch forth thy hand. And he did it. You've got to try and try and try.
Our Father, again today, we thank you for the message you laid on Brother Danny's heart and how he's spoken to our hearts through it. We pray, Father, that you'll continue to use your word as it goes forth today. Pray, Father, that you'll bring us back tonight once again at the point of time. Bless our time. It's